Well, hello, and thank you for tuning in to Dr. Gina's Radio Chat. We are celebrating 5 years on air, you guys. Wow! 5 years. I am just so, where does the time go? Where does it go? This is a really big deal, you guys. I'm so excited, and we have grown so much. I have to read this to you before we get started. I have to. Okay, wait, let me find it. Okay, so I'm trying to, because I just realized in my Facebook, and it said on my Facebook memories, I'm just scrolling down, because I've been deleting stuff, like, who is this girl? And if I don't like who that was, I'll just delete it, talking about myself back then. And so I just happened to scroll down, and 5 years, here it is. It says, my very first show, September the 2nd, 2015. I documented my very first show was so amazing. Thank you to all who listened. And then I thanked my co-host. And then I thanked my the guest, Mansoor, my gym brother, my very first guest. Thank you. I'm on cloud 9. Thank you, Jesus. Amazing. You don't want to miss the best show ever. And you guys, we have grown. We are on over 110 different internet networks, including iHeartRadio. We're on Google Play. We're on where you can say, hey, Google Play. And then we're on, oh, Lord, here go my Google Play. Never mind, Google. Hey, Google, stop. Or you could do Alexa. Hey, Alexa, play Gina Prince Radio, right? Chat. And then so it plays that. And then you got the app on BBS Radio app. And then I'm with the best producers ever. My producer on a regular basis is Doug. I love Doug. Hi, Doug. And then his brother, Don. And so they did all of this stuff so we could be over 1 million listeners worldwide. Let me tell you something, you guys. People have gotten their music played on rotation on this show. We have interviewed so many different celebrities who have gotten their passions out that would normally never be able to get it out on regular network. They've been able to talk about their organizations. They've been able to talk about their side stuff, passions, and all this stuff. They've been able, churches have been able to give out their sowing seed information. We have gotten new radio projects first heard on Dr. Gina's Radio Chat. We've interviewed everybody from Anthony Hamilton to Leon to Dougie Fresh to Pastor Shirley Caesar to Bobby Jones to Kaylin Carr to Dietrich Haddon to Kiki Wyatt to Angie Stone. I can go on and on and on and on. Dr. Gina's Radio Chat has been graced the stage with Toni Braxton, Patti LaBelle, Frankie Beverly and Maze, Cupid, Dougie Fresh. I mean, I can't even think of them all. Peebo Bryson. Oh, God. So many people. So many people. Eric Benet. Anthony Hamilton, Kim. Pastor Shirley Caesar, Ja'Kaylin Carr, we have been on somebody's stage, honey. We have been there, even to the secular too. Michelle A. Oh, we've had her on the show. We've had, so many people. I can't even name them all. I'm just so grateful. We've had, what's his name? Oh, God, I can't even think. That's my, I love him. I love his voice. The rapper, he's saying, where my dog's at? Oh, I can't even think of his name. That is a doggone shame. Oh, my God, I can't even think of his name. Help me, Jesus. Please forgive me. Oh, God, I can't remember his name. Anyway, it's just been amazing. We have had amazing, amazing shows. We have done so many amazing community work with Arthur, Cindy Trim. I can go on. We've had Joanna Beck. We've had Katie Souza. We've had Real Talk Kim. I mean, so many people. Apostle Ryan. Lestrain has been on here talking about his book. I can't even think of all the authors. I mean, we've had authors that just started writing books. We've had them and was so blessed to be able to help launch them out. We've had so many different people to come on here to help with your credit reports and financial assistance. And we even, when we started off, we had people that talked about, you know, your hair treatments and what to do with your natural hair and how to treat your hair in certain conditions. We've had brand ambassadors, people that, you know how to help you with your brand. We've done so much here at Dr. Gina's Radio Chat. I'm trying not to cry because I don't never have time to really just reflect on everything that God has allowed us to do. I'm so thankful to all the co-hosts. I'm so thankful for the ones that were here before. I'm so thankful for A-Train, comedian A-Train that was here. I'm so thankful for my girl, Gina G, who's here rocking with me every Wednesday right now. She's been with us now for almost over 3 years, about 3 years now. So she's, you know, she's a ride. She ride with me, and I just love her for that. She's got her segments on that's been a hit with the Trending T with Gina G and all of that. So we've been really, 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 really blessed, you guys. And I'm just so thankful for all that God has been doing. And because of the consistency and just his favor on this platform and just all the people that have made it a success. Everybody, every person that I've named and some that I didn't. I mean, so many people, I can't even name them all. It's just been so amazing. I don't know. I'm just so thankful. We're at listeners, over a million listeners, because we constantly are in archives. We're live on live streaming networks. We're on archives that you can continuously go, and that's being promoted. So that's how we get the numbers that we're getting. And it's just so exciting that we're all over the world. We're on over 130 or so different countries and continents. And I mean, I posted the list that Lord, I keep wanting to call him pastor and promoter, my producer Doug had given me the information months ago, and I posted as much because I like to share the growth, because it's because of you, the listeners. And today, I mean, how this is so perfect. I mean, God planned this, you guys. I'm telling you, I didn't have anyone scheduled. I wasn't pushing for today. I just wasn't led to really, you know, get anybody for today. But I'm booked up for the rest of the month and for October. But I didn't have anybody for today. And, you know, I was like, you know what? I'm going to leave it like this. It just stayed like nobody wanted this day. Out of all the days that we had, nobody wanted second. And I was just like, you know what? I'm not going to worry about it. Me and Gina G and Elizabeth Brooks, we're going to rock this show. That's what we do. We got this. Plus there's so many topics that the listeners want to listen to. So we're going to go ahead and just dedicate this to YOU. And I had no idea that it was literally to celebrate you guys. Today is a celebration of you helping make Dr. Gina's Radio Chat, Dr. Gina's Radio Chat, and to be successful. I am so, I didn't have a dime, you guys, when I started this show. I heard God tell me to start. I made my own website. I got my own, everything. He led me to do it all. Find BBS Radio, everything. And it's been a relationship. I can consider them not only my business partners, but also I consider them my brothers. I just love this family. I love Gina G. I love all the regulars, Jeffrey Hill, Nicole Atkinson. I love Carla Hawks. I love everybody. And all of the other people that was on before, you know, to this point, I'm thankful and grateful for everybody. I'm so thankful and so grateful to God, because when you do what he tells you to do, I wasn't trying to do this. I had taken radio when I was in high school, but I had no thought about doing this, especially when I'm trying to overcome financial, you know, struggle. I mean, I got my son. I got, you know, I'm living in one of the most expensive states. Well, it's not even a state, but one of the most expensive places in the United States. And, you know, for me, it's like, I just honestly, I don't know. It's just, I just obeyed. I just obeyed. And it just grew rapidly. Like, more people started catching it. I mean, when I don't even think we had 1,000 listeners. You know, maybe 2,000, maybe when my first celebrity guest, when I first got on a stage representing Dr. Gina's Radio Chat, I mean, and that was within, we started in September. By January, we started, I mean, it was just roll, roll, roll. And I just kept going. I don't know if it was 10 listeners, 20 listeners, 5 listeners, 1 listener. I don't even know. I just know that God told me to do it. I did it. And here we are. I'm just forever thankful and so grateful. I hope that this show has been a blessing to all of you, not only the listeners, but the ones that have come on. I hope that people sold into your ministry. I hope that people bought your records. I hope that people, bought your products, your project, your music. I hope that people bought your hair, your makeup line, or your books, your fitness wear. I pray that God, had you on this platform and you were blessed. I know that your music is being heard because, like I said, several artists have gotten in rotation, which is amazing. I don't even know how many people is listening to the music. If over a million listeners are listening to Dr. Gina's radio chat, I don't know how many people is listening to your music, but I just want to thank God for everything. Thank you, God, for 5 years, and I'm praying for 50 more. Okay, not just 5, not 10, not 20. I'm praying for 50 more. Come on, somebody. All right, listen. I just had to say that. Happy birthday, Dr. Gina's radio chat. Okay, let's go to weather, Los Angeles. Woo, you are 63 degrees right now. Your high is 79. You got sunshine all week long. 88 degrees in Augusta, Georgia. 95 is going to be your high. You got sunshine all day long. Let's see, Miami, you're 88 degrees. 90 is your high. You got sunshine all day long. South Australia, 61 degrees right now. You're waking up to 46 degrees. You're clear now, and you're clear when you wake up. Kenya, you are 86 degrees. That's your high. You're waking up to 71. You got thunderstorms coming, so be aware of that tomorrow. 54 degrees right now, clear in Hawaii. You are going to be 72 is going to be your high. You got showers coming after 3 p.m., so be aware of that. You got showers coming tomorrow too. Puerto Rico, 81 degrees right now. You're waking up to 71 degrees. You got thunderstorms coming all day long, all week long, rather. So be prepared for that going into next week, but you're clear now. Portugal, you are 68 degrees right now. You're waking up to 58 degrees, and you got showers coming. So be prepared for that. All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to take our sponsorship break, and we'll be right back. You know Zion as a physical place of Israel, but did you know that it's also a spiritual reality in you? Bestseller author John Eckhart has strategies for you to embrace your identity as Zion, or the place where God dwells. In his book, I Am Zion, Eckhart invites you to apply the characteristics and blessings in Isaiah 60. Learn how to reach a level of faith that releases blessings, healing, deliverance, promotion, and increase. If you don't understand the benefits that are available to you, you won't seek after them. Harness the reality that you are the dwelling place of God and experience the amazing blessings that are waiting for you. Check out I Am Zion by John Eckhart, available online and where fine books are sold. All right, you guys. Okay, we've had a lot of open discussion. This is ministerial moment. We're going to go right, because Gina G is on with me. We're going to go right into conversation with her. But I want to go I want to talk about the topic of sex and being single as a Christian woman or male. Now, this is my thing about that, okay? I talked about this on a platform. I have never really talked about this on any other platform, but I'm going to talk about it on my platform because I talked about it on somebody else's platform to help encourage other people. And I talked to Gina G about this a few times. Some of you might not know that I was married, and I was married for about 10 years, 12 years before we got a divorce. Prior to us getting a divorce, 3 years of my marriage, we were not intimate, not by choice. It just didn't happen. He was doing his thing and I was praying. So I was so content with that. And he wasn't around a lot for me to really be intimate with because he was out running the streets. And so when we finally got a divorce after my son was 2 years old, you know, I thought I was fine. I wasn't thinking about nothing. I wasn't, you know, getting hot and bothered or any of that. I wasn't feeling nothing. I was fine. When God keeps you, he will keep you. But I was in a car with my mom one day, and this guy was such a gentleman. I mean, oh my God, he just came out of nowhere, you know, just as polite and all this and that, charming and whatnot. And he was, you know, talking to me through the window across from my mom, and I'm like, this is my mom. And you know, I'm thinking, you know, I'm so naive at this point because I've been married for so long and now I'm divorced. And so I don't really know what's going on in the streets. I don't know how dating is. I don't know, you know, the butterflies in your stomach or your belly or, you know, your loins going crazy and your heart beating and all. I don't know nothing about none of that. So I'm looking at him and I'm like, how you doing? You know, trying to be polite. And my mom was like, you know, you should start dating and you know, you're still young and you know, the world system, it made sense, but I was right where I was supposed to be. God had me right where I was supposed to be. But because I didn't know any better, honestly, I just did not know any better. I'm thinking I am single. I'm not married. I wouldn't be cheating on anybody. It's just a date. So I gave the guy the number. I mean, and for y'all know how my relationship it was with my mother. I don't even know why I even listened. But I went and listened. I guess it was some part of me that wanted to. I had been broken. You know, my husband at the time cheated on me. So maybe I just felt like, what's wrong with me, Dave? Not, you know, he was older than me. Why not? So, you know, so some of that I did feed into and I thought made sense. It was, you know, what everybody else would do, I would think. So I went on a date and this guy, we went to the movies and he was an octopus. I couldn't, I mean, it was like pushing him away, pushing him away, pushing him away. I was like, what in the world is this? I mean, what is this? And so finally, I just kind of like, I said, I'm not doing this. I'm not, you know, at one point in time, I would have, but now I'm finding myself as a single woman, as a believer, as a minister. See, that's the difference. I'm in a different place. I don't know how this, you know, realm acts. I know that in the world, you know, kissing is not a problem. You know, if you say no, you say no. You know, if you say you don't say nothing and you just go with the flow, you just go with the flow. But now I'm somebody different that I'm now discovering. Oh my God, I don't even know how to act. You know, I don't know what to do. Now in the world, I would have so many words to say that I just felt like I couldn't say at the time. Or, you know, I would have so many. I would have done so many different things, but at this point in my life, I was not willing to do that. But yet I find myself kind of like in the middle. And I don't know who this is for, but sometimes you just find yourself in the middle. And sometimes in the past, you might have done things just to shut somebody up or just to please them. You didn't really want to do it, but you felt like obligated to do it. And that's a lot of people. Some people might look down on that and judge. I don't care. Judge me. That's where I was. You know, I didn't know my worth, and it's because of other things like molestation and things like that. But growing up, going into this people pleasing mode, I would give it up when I didn't even want to do it. I just did it, and so I'm sitting up in this position now, like, you know, I'm not gonna see you anymore. That's where I'm at, and I just thought, I'm not gonna see you anymore. The heck with this. And so he called me again and he wanted to apologize and he started quoting scriptures and, you know, talking about Jesus. And I was like, okay, you know, I am a young, attractive girl. Come on, ladies. You know, you're attractive. I mean, a man is going to be attracted to you because you're attractive. You know, you're beautiful. You got, you know, beautiful intellect. You're beautiful inside and outside. So men are going to be attractive to you. Okay. I felt bad though that somebody was attracted to me because I didn't know how to handle it. It was like, I don't know what to do with this. So anyway, to make a long story short, I went and met with him and I saw a snake, y'all. I saw his eyes was red. I was like, what's wrong with your eyes? And all of a sudden something happened to his eyes. He told me something happened to his eyes. And I was like, dang, since yesterday, like I felt like God dealt with him. I'm not even gonna lie. I mean, I do. I don't know. I don't know. Somebody might say something about that. But anyway, I just felt like He was demonic, and his eyes was red, and his tongue was slithering in front of my face. And I was like, "Oh my God!" I said, "I accept your apology, but I gotta go." He just looked like a snake and a spirit. And so God was ministering to me and showing me that really his ultimate goal was to have sex with me. And so throughout the years, that was my first experience. And so needless to say, other men started coming trying to holler, especially because now I'm uncovered, I'm divorced. And so now all of a sudden, married men try to holler at me, preachers, pastors, married men trying to holler at me. Then I finally, I said, you know what? Maybe I should date somebody that's not in church. So I started trying to date people, outside of the church. And then one guy waited for a long time. I had sex with him. Then I wanted to fix it. I felt guilty. I was like, I want to fix this. I feel condemned. I would pray. I would ask God, please take this out of me. Where did this come from? I don't even know what this is. God, help me. And I remember talking to a pastor about it. I said, do you think sex would ever come out of the church? And he said, no. And I said, well, you know what? I don't care what you're saying. I believe that sex is going to come out of church because God is going to come for a bride without spot nor wrinkle. So as long as I hold on to that faith and believe that somebody in all of us going to get delivered at some point. So it's going to happen. Now, I want to make sure that I'm not reaching the bottom of the pier, the tier, to get the warning that I need to stop. So I would ask God and pray, deliver me. What is this? I do the things that I don't want to do and the things I want to do. Who's going to deliver me? And I was challenged 6 months ago by, 1 year go by, and then I find myself in somebody's arms doing the do again. And then I feel bad. And then I pray, like, what happened? I went a whole 6 months. And what I didn't understand until I got to the place that God was all I needed. It was, and I want to talk to the ladies particularly. You girls, I love you so much because I've been there, done that. I worked in the sex industry. I know what it's like to not be wanted. I know what it's like to be abandoned. I know what it's like to be rejected from your family, from boyfriends, from friends. I know what it's like. I know what it's like to not know your identity. I know what it's like to be carrying hurts and pains from one trauma to the next to the next. I understand all of that. But I had to come to a place that I had to give it all to God. Literally, I had to give my whole entire everything to him because I got tired of falling and getting back up. It was harder for me to get back up. It was like it was going through deliverance, binding soul ties, binding and casting out emotional, connections. And I mean, it was, and then you'd be surprised some of the things that you with somebody, you pick up their stuff. Like if they cuss a lot, you start one day you'll say a bad word and be like, dang, where'd that come from? And then the Holy Spirit had to show me that I lay down with this person. He cussed all the time. That's what God said, don't be unequally yoked. It's very important for us to match up. Let God be the matchmaker and bring us to our husband, our spouses, our wives. Let him do that. So then that way we'll be in agreement. As long as I was fighting on one end, it was hard for me because, again, coming from a background of abandonment, rejection, not being wanted, somebody acting like they want me, and walking for God is not always easy. Your challenge, your test is fires, it's demonic opposition, it's all kind of stuff that come up against you. So, and I'm a single mom. I didn't deal with my divorce properly and how that ended. I mean, there's so many things, people coming and going in your life and, things like that. And you just want somebody to fall into the arms and feel safe or feel like you're being taken away from the issues. But all you're doing is coming into one big old issue. It's one link to another. All the issues, God can, he's like, God is like, I can deal with all this stuff. But every time you go over to somebody's arms that's not equipped to protect you, care for you, or speak into your life or see your worth, it's like you block me from dealing with all this other stuff when I can do it just like that. So until I got tired of the whole constant going over and over again with this whole thing every 6 months, every year. I'm talking about for what? I've been now in ministry for 18 years. We're talking a long time. I've been divorced now for what, 13 years? And so we're talking about 13 years. 13 years of that and 18 and maybe 15 or 16 years of not really, having a solid relationship. I mean, so many things, the devil just kept on coming in. But I say that, and I'll tell it more when I got longer. I mean, God gives me the platform to tell more in depth. But I just wanted to give you something to go on. Let me tell you something. Think twice before you go into that arms. I know it's hard right now. I know it's guys out here trying to, show you that they're here for you and they saying all the right things and everything. But I'm gonna tell you something. Trust and believe. If they for you, they'll wait on God. If they want you bad enough, if they want you, love you, see your worth, they will wait. I don't care how many times he gets erected. I don't care how many times you get excited. I don't care what you got to do. You need to run. And I'm saying go to God. I understand your body parts. I understand all of that. But as a minister of the gospel for over 18 years, he is no respect of person. If the pastors can cheat on their wives and their husbands, of course he's gonna try to the devil gonna try to come at you. You single? That's your main excuse. I'm single. I ain't with nobody. I'm not cheating, but that fornication is right there knocking at the door. So that's something that God wants to hold you from to build your worth, your value, to make you beautiful. Think about Esther, how he made her beautiful, and he, put the spices and the oils and, cleansed all them women. And Esther was the one that was chosen, and then she became the queen. And oh, God even moved another queen out of the way for her. So let God do it, okay? That's all I got to say. And that's what I got to say about sex, single, and being a Christian, and especially in leadership. Okay. All right, Gina G, what you got to say about sex and church and sing, all of that?
Child, now, ooh, Lord, I don't know. I don't know.
Well, you got single, so
Because
you
I'm married.
married.
Well, because I'm married, so it, my aspect is going to be that I have to do it often because, people of God love to bring up the scripture. Now, I don't know exactly which one it is, but I'm going to tell you. Men of God love to bring it up, especially married men of God. So as a married woman, I got to do things, headache, no headache, feel like it, don't feel like it. So it's a little different for me. But I have been there before. So I'm not going to lie to y'all. I've been married. It'll be 9 years together tomorrow, and then 8 years married on the 20th. So I've been married for a while, but I do know about the temptation of, feeling like you owe somebody. Yourself or because they did this, then this is all you have to give them back as a woman. And I don't know where that came from. I don't know if it's a generational curse. I don't know if every woman have those thoughts in their mind, but clearly I have. So I get everything you're saying. You are definitely not wrong because, like you said, in the world, being single, that means you can be with everybody. In the world, that means you can date whoever you want, two or three at a time. But actually, they tell you to have two or three at a time since you are single. So in the world's eyes, you're pushed. You're pretty much being sacrificed. It's like go out there and meet as many men as you want, sleep with them, and try on all these shoes until you get the one with the glass slipper. So if I understand everything you're saying. I don't think every woman has been there before, but like you said, you have to get out of people pleasing because there's only one person that you need to please. So once you realize that there's only one person, believe me, you ain't worried about nobody else.
It
You'll
limits
tell
it
them no in a
all.
minute.
It limits it all. And it was something that you said that was really good. And that's really, I really want to deal, because some people would say, a lot of judgment, like she should know better or they should know better. How couldn't she have known? Or how couldn't he have known? Well, let me tell you something. Believe it or not, some people have other things on their minds, like trying to do the right thing or building up something or seeking God for certain things. And they just, like, say, for instance, one guy that I dated, I didn't even, he was married. He told me he was divorced. He was a friend of mine from school. And even though that they were separated, he was still married. He never told me that he told me he was divorced. Like I said, I'm divorced. I'm divorced too. Gave me a date, a year, and everything. And yeah, and was with me, met my family, was everywhere I would minister at. He right there and met my godmother and my goddad. I mean, he's listening to me
The devil
preach
used
and
him
all
real
this
good.
stuff. And we going to, you know, school functions and all this stuff. And this dude is married. And for 4.5 years, never told me that he was not. I mean, that he was. So when somebody says, how did you not know? Let me give you a good example why. These guys nowadays are very clever, okay? The thing that the reason why I didn't know is because everywhere I went, he came. No matter what state I was, no matter where I was at, what function, we took pictures, we took professional pictures together. We did all kind of things together. Like, you know, that was outward. So that was one thing. For another thing, because I was traveling so much, it wasn't a big deal for me to go to his house. He wasn't coming to my
Yeah, you were
house.
busy.
And he wasn't coming to my house because I had my son. You know, I wasn't bringing guys just to my house. You're gonna get a better relationship with him through Skype or whatever, but you're not coming to my house. I don't want my son to get familiar with you being come, you know, in his space if you're not gonna be with us. And so, but so time just went by, just like these 5 years I've been on PBS radio. I mean, four and a
Happy
half years.
birthday.
I mean, I didn't know. I didn't know. And I wasn't, if you tell me that. And you're doing everything that doesn't seem like that, then how would I know? I
Yeah,
wouldn't
well, you're
think
supposed to trust. I mean,
otherwise.
you're trusting. Yeah, why would you think otherwise? There's no, he didn't give you any reason to think otherwise.
Exactly. And so I when I found out it was this guy was like, I mean, and it was other things. It was things that I know that it was red signs, but I just because he told me he wasn't, and because of all of his action, I just felt like it. Those signs was just me, 'cause you know I've been hurt, so I'm afraid that I'm looking through hurt lenses. But let me tell you something about what people do. They know where you've been hurt, okay? And they feel like if they know where you've been hurt, they can play on that.
Use that.
Because yes, because if I question something, it would come up like I'm not like those other guys. You know, why would you think that? I'm right here on the phone, or I called you right back, or I text. You see what I'm saying? But meanwhile, it was
Game.
a wife calling, or maybe she was coming by to, you know what I'm saying, or whatever. I don't know all the details,
I feel so
you
sorry for
know,
her. Jesus.
yeah. And I prayed for her, and I prayed, and I, you know, talked to him, and he apologized and everything. Even met my ex-husband and everything. Had to apologize to my whole entire family. It was ridiculous. I mean, he literally, I made him apologize to everybody because you're not gonna make me look
Good.
crazy. No. Okay, you're gonna
Right.
apologize to everybody. So he
These are
apologized to
4 years.
everybody, including my ex-husband. And so anyway, but what I say all of that to say is that you gotta be careful because a lot of women now are so desperate for a man. They want a husband. They want a husband. Somebody want a wife. They want to have sex legally. They want to do that. So they under God. When I say legally, I mean under God. They want
No
to
R.
get
Kelly
married. So.
situation, just
Yeah,
legal.
right. So they want to do that, you know, and I get it. But let me tell you something. Oh my God, I went through a lot of frogs, and I just sit up and thank God because he finally got to show me, Gina, who I was, my worth, my value. I went through all that, and I can tell and help somebody. And, you know, he can reinstate. And people like to judge you. And they say, well, why didn't you know? You should know your worth. How would you know if you grew up nobody telling you? If somebody was telling you you're a
And they
hoe, a
lie.
slut,
And
a
the
hoe, a
person.
slut, a bee, you nasty, you disgusting. If that's all you know, and then you turn up doing nasty and disgusting things, and you feel like that's the only route, that's all you got, then how would you know better?
And you don't, and they don't know no better. They just learning through your experience. So when people say stuff to me, I'd be like, why do you know? You know, what did you go through to just give you this miraculous breakthrough to call me, tell me I don't know? You know, so people always are going to have their opinion and be judgmental. And that's something that I'm really learning in my adult life, And I'm really learning how to say, forget y'all. I ain't worried about what nobody got to say about me. Like I said earlier, I only got one person. Just one.
Yeah.
And I think, and it's easy. If people would look at life like that, you got one person that you got to do right and show that you're worthy and show that everything that they've taught you and all the loving that they've given you, you've learned something. And that's God. Everybody else, y'all, takes definitely a back seat. You know, and then
way
when you're
back.
Married, of course, you know, you got God and you got your husband and you got your children, you know, so it's a tier. But when you're single, honey, please, child, you got one. Don't let no man try to talk to you and make you feel guilty. I don't care if you teased them. I don't care if you kissed them one time and then you know what? You decided to say no. I don't care if you didn't got to your pants off and you decided to say no. You have every right to do so. And, you know, I commend you because it's not easy to go, not only to go through things, but to actually talk about them, to actually work them out so that certain things don't happen again, because God is going to test you. And then when you fail, of course he loves you and picks you back up and pats you on your back and dusts you off, but he going to test you again.
Oh, it
so
comes
you got
around.
To be,
it
you
comes,
got to be ready. Oh, it comes, honey.
It came around 6 months or a year later, and I'm like, dang, how did I get here again? You know what I'm saying? Like, what was it that made me think that this guy was different than the last one? I mean, what was it? And when you sit back and look at it all, it's the same pattern. It's just
the same
depending
pattern.
On where you
it.
Are at that time.
Yeah.
Whatever the depth. Mm-hmm. Oh, I got a loophole right there. There you go. Come on, I'm gonna get her right there. There she go, right there. You know, and most of the time it's because
every
of lack
time.
Of faith. Because when we don't have
every
faith
time.
In God, we turn to a lot of other outlets, and we're going to talk about that. We talked about sex already, and Gina, that was good. You know, we laid all our business out like we always do on Dr. Gina's radio chat. but we're going to talk about drinking alcohol, wine, and Christians, and then we're going to talk about racism. But first, we got to go into this. Times just go by so fast, you guys. We got Elizabeth Brooks, our fitness trainer. Fitness and Five. Hey, Elizabeth, how are you?
Hi, you guys.
Good morning.
How's it going?
Good morning. It's going, Elizabeth.
All right. It is wonderful to hear your voices.
Elizabeth, we 5 years now. 5 years on Dr. Gina's radio chat.
It's our
Yay.
Birthday.
No way. Woo.
Yes,
birthday.
It's 5 years today.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. TikTok, right? And is that amazing?
Radio.
Well, that is amazing. And God is so faithful. And so I just want to, you know, congratulations. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah. So what you got for us today, Elizabeth?
Listen, I have an excessive amount of energy, you guys, because I have just come from vacation. And I wanted to talk about fitness on vacation, you guys. Listen, you know, a lot of times people go away on vacation and they're like, oh, I want to rest and I want to relax, and that's cool. You should get some relaxation. You should get some rest in. But I want to encourage you all to take your fitness with you to the beach, to the mountains, and especially during this time. This is a really amazing time to get away, take some time with family, which is what I did, even taking some time with yourself and find that time to refresh, relax, and rejuvenate. And that should also be an essential part of your fitness program. And so I want to encourage you guys to, when you go on vacation, to do some different kinds of activities when you're on vacation. You know, you'll have an opportunity if you go on vacation to the beach, you know, take your walk on the beach, you know, do a light yoga workout, you know, on your yoga mat on the beach, you know, taking, you know, a nice bike ride, doing things that are really different from what you normally do. You know, do some miniature golf. We went on this amazing obstacle course. It was extremely physical, nothing that we would ever do if we were, you know, if we were at home. Go hang gliding, go parasailing, get on in a boat, you know, canoe. You know, there are so many activities
Lord.
That you can do. And remember, you know, one of the best things about being fit is that you can take your body and you can do a lot of things with your body. You know, being fit is not just about looking good in a swimsuit, which you can do if you've been working on that body all, you know, all this during this entire crisis, and you want to, you know, try on that swimsuit and get out there. That's great. But, you know, being able to do things with your body, you know, going on a hike, doing things that are away from dumbbells, away from your medicine balls, and actually moving your physical body, doing things. White water rafting, you know, there are so many great activities out there. And a lot of times, you know, when you go on vacation, that's the perfect time to do it. So I want to encourage you guys to take your fitness routine with you on vacation. If you have, you know, have some time to get away this Labor Day weekend, you know, look at, you know, yes, relax. You know, cook out, barbecue, grill, great, but do something that's different, you know, with your family. Look for a fun adventure, and it also helps build, you know, memories that you can go back to in the future. So, hey, you guys, take a vacation, vacate your brain, but you can't vacate from exercising and moving, but do something different when you go away.
I love it. Elizabeth, I want to ask you on air, can you come back on the 30th? I want to talk about specifically how your body changes after 50.
I didn't hear you. I'm sorry. Can I what?
I said on September the 30th, can you come back on and join us and talk about fitness, your body after 50?
Oh, my God, yes. I'd love to. You know that.
Okay.
That's
okay.
Like one of my true callings.
we're going to schedule that because I want to talk about that. I feel like it's necessary because your body be doing stuff, honey. And it's like, who is this? I mean, just like overnight. Like, what is that?
And I can tell everybody where they can relating follow to you. So just remember, you guys, if you want to reach out to me on my email, ebrooks@thinkingcorrectly.com. And I'm looking forward to and hearing from you guys soon, okay? Please take care of yourself, stay healthy, wear your mask, wash your hands, and social distance.
All right. Thank you so much, Elizabeth. I appreciate
you. Love you guys.
Love you. Okay, you guys, we're not taking commercial breaks. We don't have no time. And this is a celebration. So bump that. We're going to keep on talking. Okay. Gina, let's talk about drinking, girl. You know, I like me some wine at one point, honey. A lot.
Oh, my God. Okay, well. We do keep it real here on Dr. Gina's radio chat. And, yes, you did. But... you have been delivered, girl, okay?
Yes.
I love wine. You do love wine, and there's nothing wrong. Now, let me just make sure I make that statement, because there's nothing wrong with having a glass of wine. It's just how many glasses of wine, or better yet, you know, just who are you once you have had so much wine? How about that? I'm not a real big drinker. I've got one bad experience on alcohol, maybe two. Bad experience on alcohol, you guys. I'll be 40 in February, and I don't have any alcoholic stories, just two of them. But I'm not big on alcohol because it tastes nasty. I want something delicious, and alcohol don't really taste as delicious. Maybe in a smoothie. Maybe put it in a smoothie. But, you know, it's okay, though. And I hope that you are going to tell your listeners that, you know, it is okay.
I think that it's in the Bible, says don't get drunk. You can drink wine. I mean, it even says in Leviticus, when he talked to Aaron, the priest, and all of them, that as long as they don't drink anything going into the tent, the holy tent where God would listen to all of their sins and the sacrifices was done like that. He warned them not to drink wine or alcohol. And I read that just yesterday or this morning. And so it's not that it was a problem with drinking. It's a problem, you know, Jesus turned water into wine. So it's not a problem about that. I just feel like, I think we done got a little loosey goosey with it though. I think it's a little loosey goosey. I've seen, you know, and drank wine, and it started off innocent, and at a dinner, and a couple of hours go by, you done went through two bottles, and everybody is tipsy, but we're functioning, and, you know, the only indication of that we got drank too much was a hangover the next day. So, I mean, it's like, okay, I might not have felt like I drank too much, you know, today, and I'm talking about with other church members and leaders. I'm not talking about just people in the world. I mean, I hung out with church people. So, you know, yeah, my likes about the wine is that I felt like it was innocent. I used to want a vineyard and things like that, and I still might. I feel like where I was at, though, in ministry at the time, with a lot of things that was going on, things that I was seeing that I was kind of disturbed about. You know, didn't know that it was still going on in the church. I guess I was naive about that too. I mean, cause I was in the world, y'all. When I was in the world, I was in the world. I wasn't, you know, I wasn't like, you know, just doing what I want to do. I was down in, you know, juke joints and crack houses and strip clubs. Like I was in the
dark. In the world for real.
Yeah, in the world for real. So you don't have no concept when you gone to that level to what's going on. Like, I didn't know what was going on in the news. I didn't even remember what new songs was out. Like, I was in the world. I was in the world. So for me to come to church and get changed, you know, God's transforming, he had a lot of work to do with me. So I'm learning how to date. You know what I'm saying? I'm learning how to be a wife. I'm learning how to be a mother for the first time. I'm learning how to be a leader, an apostle, delivering folks from demons. I'm learning how to deal with other leaders. I'm learning how to deal with, you know, manipulation and legalism. I'm learning how to deal with a lot. Like, I feel like he just kind of threw, like, pushed me out there like David. Like, go on out there and kill that giant. And I'm like, what?
Right. Like, wait a minute.
You know, wait, hold up, you know, but so a lot of the stuff that I've learned through the years were through trial and error, and by his grace of forgiveness and deliverance and constantly me consistently wanting and knowing that it had to be something better. But I think if you have been so far down, you know, you go from glory to glory to glory. So you got to be patient with people. You know, you don't know where they came from. You know, the depths, the dark places. You know what I'm saying?
Right,
so to say that
right.
somebody should know better, you know, it's like, I told God I didn't want to come over here to the world. I mean, to the church and be like the world. I want to see all of you. I want to see miracles and signs and like all that stuff you're saying in the Bible. I want to see that. I want to live that. I want to breathe it, eat it, do it, be it. I want all of that. Like, soak me up in you. I don't want nothing like that. So it was like through the years when I saw my brothers and sisters, you know, I could see it, you know, the world in the church. It was devastating to me. You know, I saw homosexuality. I saw gay pastors and, you know, dating men married, you know what I'm saying? They married and got a man on the side. You know, I mean, I'm seeing all this stuff and, you know, money, greed, and what happened to the ministry? What happened to serving the Lord? And not everybody's like that. It's a whole lot of, you know, right, you know, people that are faithful to God and, you know, have not given up. And I looked at people like that, that they gave up somewhere on the line. Like somewhere down the line, they gave up. They got devastated. Okay. They was disappointed. They was hurt because it happened to me. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. With sex, with drinking wine. So I know that if I didn't continue to humble myself before God and surrender and repent and not just accept that state, you know what I'm saying? And I even stopped being around people that kept me in that state. I had to listen. Sorry, got to go. You know, or God broke it up somehow because I didn't want to come over here to be like where I came from. That was like senseless. I might as well stay over there and just die. You know what I'm saying? Instead of coming over here and have a taste of the goodness of God and then not go, you know what I'm saying? And be living, struggling and, you know, living like that, living to the lowest of what I'm supposed to live as a king of God, as a child of the Most High is what I'm saying. So, drink. If you can, if you can't, stop. That's all I'm saying. If it messes you up and takes you out of your character, don't do it no more. I mean,
don't
that's what it
no
did. Became, it became a substance for me. Like, you know, I was lonely. So I would get let me just have a nice glass of wine. One glass of wine be two, three, four glasses of wine. Oh, let me just have a glass with my girls. And then, you know, you know what I'm saying? And it just, and it wasn't for me. That's what I can say. Especially coming out from addiction already. You know, the devil was just trying to take something that was so innocent and pollute it and kill me with it. You see what I'm saying? So it's like, oh, right. You come over here and be with God, but Jesus turned water into wine and look at you, a drunk. You know what I'm saying? Mm. That's what he would say to me. And I was like, oh, well, you know, what we're going to do is that we're not going to do this no more because I'm not going to give mm-hmm. you anything over
anything.
Me.
Mm-hmm.
You right. know, not even, I don't care how innocent it may sound seem with a group of your church friends or the couple of your pastors. If it's not for you, walk away from it and pray that's that it right. doesn't consume your brethren. That's all I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about this that's racism. Right. What do you think about all this racism, honey? You go ahead and start on that. Gina, what's going on? Hello? Doug, what happened to Gina?
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Okay, let's take a break.
Freedom and deliverance are available to you and born into sin, transformed into destiny by Dr. Gina R. Prince.
One woman's story is everyone's struggle and born into sin, transformed into destiny. Available now at drginaprince.com.
Hi, my name is Gina R. Prince and I'm super excited about sharing with you my new fitness DVD called Health and Soul. Health and soul, what does that mean? Well, for me, one day when I was praying and speaking with the Lord and he ministered to me, he put that in my spirit, health and soul. And he said the meaning of that is that I want people to be healthy and I want their souls to be healed and whole as well. He said wholeness. And so as the time has gone by, God has really ministered to me about what he wants from the body of Christ as far as us being whole. He wants our mind healed and whole. He wants our body healed and whole. He wants our souls healed and whole. And so this is the beginning of the journey.
All right, Gina, what you got to say?
There you go. Can you hear me, sis? All right, now. Racism, Lord Jesus, unfortunately, I don't believe it's going anywhere. I think it was, you know, a big deal, of course, back in the day. Then it calmed down. People were kind of just racist at home, you know, or they were a smart way of being racist, you know. But
they was racist on the side.
You know, just like with everything that's going on, like even with just how you were just saying homosexual, everything used to be kept, you know, in people's homes. You know, nobody knew what was going on. And so now, to me, this president, he's just erupted like this volcano. And I really believe that there are a lot of people that are not racist. There's a lot of people that, I'm sorry, everybody is racist. Let's just keep it 100. Everybody is racist. Everybody has seen an Asian person drive and talk about, oh, Lord, you know, they can't drive. What they doing? Everybody has seen, you know, a Hispanic person, you know, oh, my God, you know, they going to cut the grass. You know, I mean, people have their, you know, people have racism in them. To me, what it is just how far are you willing to go with your racism? You know, I'm only going to go as far as to talk about the little Asian lady that can't drive next to me. I'm not going to go as far as to going to Chinatown with a bomb strapped to me saying I hate all Asians and I'm blowing up Asians. You see what I'm saying? So I just think there is a level of racism, but I do believe that everybody has racism in them. And it's just, to me, it's just because it's different. People are always afraid of what's different. They always are curious of what's different. We're going to talk about what's different and not the norm. But right now, I just need everybody to just worry about yourself. All these Karens out here telling on folks and calling the police on people because they black. And, you know, now when I go somewhere and I see white people, it's not even, I have to worry about things now. And it's really, really weird. Like, just for a quick example, the other day I went to look at a house and I pulled up on it and it was some white people, of course, they were moving. And she said, oh, well, you can come in. You know, you come in and see it. So with no hesitation, you guys, I pull over, I go inside the house. It's just this lady, a guy, and their daughter who's like a teenager. I literally could have got killed in that house and stuffed in the closet. And these folks would have moved to wherever they was getting ready to move to. You know, but this day and age, it makes you think like, oh, my God, should I have went in there? You know, they might not even have been the, it's just crazy how your mind has to think now. And it's very sad. And all I can do now is continue to pray for my son's future. You know, my future, I got more days, you know, behind me than ahead. And I really pray for him because I don't want him growing up where he's not only like scared of white people or don't like white people. That's just terrible. I wasn't raised that way. And I refuse to teach my son that way. But it's not going nowhere, sister. It's in church. It's on television. It's in business. It's everywhere. And I really feel like people need to start at home with racism, how you're teaching your children, how you're teaching your, I seen a lady said that she was at a peaceful protest, Gina. And she said, I am going to teach my grandkids to hate you all. That is horrible. Now, that is horrible. And I will say that white folks, y'all are a little bit more evil than we are with racism. Y'all take y'all racism to another level.
Yeah.
We ain't trying to burn crosses and come to your schools and your jobs. And shoot, you know, it's just, just take care of home. Start with what you can control, which is your house. And if you teach your children and your loved ones to love everybody no matter what color they are, love them for how they treat you, treat people how they treat you, and I think things would be better. But racism is not going to go nowhere. It's not.
Yeah, I just want to say that with all of that said and done, I'm just hoping that we can be nicer towards each other, us
right.
as black people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really, really, you know, kind of disappointed at still how we treat each other.
Mm-hmm.
We see all these protests and everything and it's going on, but we don't even know how to treat each other. You know, when you know, people, you know, that doing services, I see, you know, our culture, black people being mean to like Uber
mm-hmm.
drivers or, you know,
mm-hmm.
the grocery store clerk or, you know, the man at the door. They don't want to tip nobody. I mean, there's certain things like that, treating
mm-hmm.
people like they're, and, you know, they're slaves or they're servants and stuff like that.
Crazy.
And I would like for us to treat each other nicer. You know, we're
mm-hmm.
we're taking on so much with all of this stuff. We need to be nicer to each other. I know it's
yeah.
a big world out there, and I do see a lot of people out there marching together, giving out water. I've been out there, so I understand that. But it is still a nice selective amount of people that's just nasty to their
mm-hmm.
brother and their sister and their neighbor. I'm being honest.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
they're still murdering each other in them gangs and stuff in Chicago.
It's
still
yeah.
murders
yeah.
going on in D.C.
Yep.
So the
mm-hmm.
the rates, the statistics is showing that. So if we were loving on each other, we wouldn't be so many murderers of each other. You know, I'm just saying.
Mm-hmm.
If
we loved ourselves,
you know,
as well.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean,
mm-hmm.
what is your thoughts about that?
You're right. I mean, now, and I hate to call it black on black crime, Gina, because it just doesn't make any sense to me. Because crime is crime. White folks put crime on white folks. Black people put white people, Asians do Asians. Mexican, stop calling it black on black crime. What is crime? And what needs to stop happening is it in the communities of black people, they need something else. You can't just put rap music, drugs, and guns and then
yeah.
expect people to come out as angels. We didn't have planes, we didn't have boats, we didn't have buses to go get guns or none of that. There was trains that used to come in these communities with their doors open, and because they knew black folks didn't have nothing, so they gonna go look for something to steal. And they would go to these train cars, Regina, and the ones that would be open wouldn't be the food. It would be the guns. So
yeah.
when you put this type of stuff in front, it's just like putting candy in front of a kid. You can pray all day that baby won't touch that candy. They even got a something on TikTok. 9 times out of 10, that baby gonna grab that candy. So if you can't put something in front of somebody and expect them not to try it, use it, touch it, smell it, anything. So I really believe if things weren't in our community like that, we wouldn't be doing those things. If it was community centers and basketball courts and parks, and that's what was going on. The big news was, you know, basketball players, unknown basketball players playing basketball or track. What happened to this stuff? They took all of that away. They took away great television for black people because now all black people are doing is cussing and fighting and slapping women and throwing drinks and, you know, I mean, come on. It's the image that is being painted. And so I think it's just a struggle. But as black people, you know, we're going to have a talk at the cookout, y'all, because we need to get it together. So the next cookout, black folks, we're going to have a talk. Because no one's going to respect us until we respect ourselves. And that's just period, you know. So, but yeah. I love being black. I love being God's child. I love everybody.
I love everybody. I love my black people. But y'all irritate me when you guys are mean to each other. I just think it's unnecessary. We need to do better it with is. That, for real. It is. Everybody, it really everything is not a fight. We don't have to be so nasty. You know, I'm just being honest. You know, we calling out everything. Y'all wanted to talk about it. Here it go. You know, be a little nicer, you know, to your brother. You know, it's nothing wrong with saying, hi, how are you? You know, it's nothing wrong with saying thank you. Can you please, do you mind? Is it possible? You know what I'm saying? It's nothing wrong with answering a question without an attitude. It's nothing wrong with that. I remember I called a lady trying to work out something with my bill because of this pandemic and stuff right at the beginning. And this lady was so rude to me, going to tell me I had paid for a money order. And this is what happened. It wasn't even a bill. Thank you, Jesus. It was a money order that I was sending off to someone. Mm-hmm. And it was a $500 money order. And the mail took forever. The money order was going to the same city. I'm in D.C. It was going right across the street, pretty much. And seven days had gone by, and I didn't know where this letter was. Where was this money order? So I'm calling and calling the post office. Did they cash the money order yet? They looked it up. No. I get this one lady that refused to tell me if the money order been cashed. She told me that she wanted that I needed to call. I mean, go up to the post office I got it from. I said, ma'am, this is my third time calling. Every time I call, somebody helped me and told me that the money order wasn't cashed. Well, why are you asking for it now? That's what she said. She asked me, why am I calling now if they already told me? And then she said, I've worked for the post office over 35 years. So I know how this thing go. And I said, well, you know what? I'm so glad that the first two that I got didn't work for 35 years because they didn't know no better because they helped me and they answered my doggone question.
Right.
And I
said, oh, my God. I'm telling you, y'all, we just need to take a breath and breathe, honey, and relax. Everybody is not out to get you. Everybody is not out to treat you wrong. Just breathe. That's all.
Just breathe. That's all. Well, listen, we done got through as many topics as we could today. We only got an hour. Keep praying that the next 5 years will go to more days, more time, or whichever way God see fit. But this has been so good. How do you feel about this being 5 years? How do you feel about being with Dr. Gina's radio chat as we close out?
You know what? I just want to say thank you for the opportunity. I came on as a guest, and I've been here for 3 years now, and I am just, I'm so excited. From not having having little viewers to over a million, and then getting on iHeartRadio, and then being able to ask Alexa. And, I mean, it's just awesome to be a part. I thank Doug. I thank you. I just thank the whole BBS Radio for, you know, bringing in somebody like me. Let me hold on with y'all for a little while.
And you did some concerts too. You did. You did Frankie Beverly and Maze. You did All
Star.
What is that group? What was that group you did at first? Atlantic Star?
Atlantic Star. That was, it was a couple people there. And Glenn Close and I can't think of his name, child. Y'all, you know I love you. I forgot his name. Lenny.
DMX. I couldn't even remember DMX. Oh, my God. I just now remember DMX.
I met DMX.
Lenny Williams.
Lenny Williams. There you go.
Yeah, he's been on a show a couple of times, too.
Oh, so
Gina, we've had a good life with Dr. Gina's radio chat. God has been really good to us.
Yes, he has. Yes, he has. And I'm so thankful. Thank you, guys. I look forward to Wednesday. I look forward to being able to. I have people that listen in California. My sister Sky listens every Wednesday.
Hi, Sky.
So I'm just, you know, I'm thankful to be a part of this, you know, for however long a part I'm going to be. And if I ever could leave, please just know. Open the door and let it back in.
You know you always welcome here. And I love, she got the chit chat. She got her chit chat in the closet. Chit chat in the closet show. You guys go follow her on Gina G Too Funny on Instagram and on Facebook, right?
Yep.
You can either, I think on Instagram it's T-O-O, right? Or is it
on Instagram? On Instagram it's the number 2. On Facebook it's T-O-O.
Yay! And you know you can follow me. And both of us on Dr. Gina's Radio Chat. Okay, we got to go. I know that Doug's been so generous with the time. We appreciate you. Love you, Doug.
Yes.
And listen, we want you to continue to rock with us, you guys. Continue to tell everybody about Dr. Gina's Radio Chat. I think you guys have heard enough personal stuff about me. I'm going into a new season. This is the 9th month. This is a new Jewish month, year coming this month. Actually, September the 16th or the 19th is the Rosh Hashanah, 18th, Rosh Hashanah. So, you know, this is a new year and a new season. I ain't talking about none of that old stuff no more. Unless God lead me to help you
Come
be
on.
Delivered. But I am taking authority over all of it in Jesus' name.
Yeah,
if it's up to me, if God allows me, I will help you get those shackles off your legs, your wrists, your body,
Come
your
on.
Mind, and your soul. I want you all to be free. That's why I'm telling it. I'm not looking for nothing. No praise. I'm not looking for no sympathy. I'm stronger than I ever been. I thank God for the experience, for his grace, his mercy. Gina helped talk me through, prayed me through a couple of, you know, seasons and days and times that I was going through. I listened, and some of it may have fell on hard ground. Some of it took root, but she didn't give up. I've had other people pray over me. Some of it was, you know, fell on some other ground, and some of it took root. Some people watered, but God has got the increase. And if I didn't go through it, I wouldn't even be able to testify about it, because I'm telling you now, not people are telling you the truth. A lot of people that you're looking at, they going through stuff. They done found other outlets, or they done fallen short somewhere. So nobody is perfect. I'm just willing and led to tell you about it so you can be set free, just like God did for me.
Amen.
All right, you guys, listen, we love you so much. Thank you for celebrating 5 years with us on Dr. Gina's Radio Chat. Until next time, we're loving you. Live healthy, live whole, live in your destiny. Until next time, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Dr. Gina's Radio Chat. Live healthy, live whole.